Whether you're dreaming of a retirement with sand between your toes and a cold one in your hand, hitting the road to chase the winds of adventure, or spending time with your grandchildren, this show is intended to help you get there. Welcome to Coasting in Retirement with your host, Josh Knoll. You've worked too hard throughout your career to spend your retirement worrying. So sit back, kick up your feet, because we've got lots of financial tips and tricks to share to help you get exactly where you want to be. Here's Josh.
Hello, Lower Alabama. Hello, Gulf Coast. Welcome in. Welcome to Coasting in Retirement. Thanks for joining us today. Josh Knoll here alongside returning guest co-host, Mr. Jay Stubbs of Providence Partners. Jay, how you doing, buddy?
Josh, I'm doing good. It's good to be here in studio with you, recording, getting out to our listeners for what will be. I hope everyone will have a happy start to a new year.
That's right. Here we are again, 2026.
Absolutely. So yeah, it's a little chilly outside, so I'm glad we're inside.
That's right. Well, speaking of inside, we are recording not in our usual spot. We're not in downtown Fairhope at Coastal College, but we're here on your Jay side of the pond in the Port City, Mobile, Alabama. So thanks for getting the studio set up. Listeners, Jay and I are here today to discuss financial topics relevant to those of you in or near retirement, living your best life along our part of the Gulf Coast. Here's what we've got in store for you. First segment, deep dive on our topic of the day. Second segment, roughly 30 minutes past the hour, that's going to be headlines of the week. And then roughly 50 minutes-ish past the hour, stick around for our third segment. We call it Josh's Crystal Ball and Big Mouth. And Jay and I do not have anything pre-prepared. We're just going to make some fun predictions and maybe try to reminisce on some of the stuff that we predicted last year and see if any of it came true or not.
Well, sounds good to me, Josh.
Yeah, sounds good. All right, quick background on me for those of you new to the show. Again, my name is Josh Knoll. I'm a fee-based financial advisor. I hold my FINRA Series 65 securities license, and I'm the owner of Gulf Coast Financial Advisors. That is a 100% locally owned, 100% independent investment management and financial planning firm. We've got offices in Fairhope, Orange Beach, and Mobile. You can find more information on me and the team at Gulf Coast Financial Advisors by visiting our website. That's gulfcoastfa.com, or feel free to give us a call anytime, 251-327-2124. If you dismiss that, just grab a pen and something to write on. We're going to repeat it several times throughout the show. Speaking of the show, let's get on with it. So if you're listening to this episode, then as Jay mentioned earlier, the calendar year 2026 has officially begun, right? Happy New Year to everybody listening. And, you know, I got to ask you, Jay, with it being 2026, where the heck did 2025 go?
It's amazing how fast time flies. But, you know, grandmothers will have the old adage of time flies when you're having fun.
Yeah.
So maybe we had a good time in 2025. I know that a lot of people are kind of licking some wounds, perhaps, on all the volatility that occurred in the marketplace with all of the tariffs from the current administration and all that discussion. And then the global turmoil that's out there with you know, everything from the most recent pirate ships getting blown out of the water,
right,
all the way back to you know, the like I said, the tariff information, and then the whole, you know, stuff going on in the Middle East. But we did make it. We survived 25. I think a lot of people had that as their mantra, which was
survive 25.
So maybe by the end of this show, we can have something as a mantra for 2026. It's got to rhyme, though. Just keep that in mind.
Okay. All right. I'll work on that. Well, what I want to do with this opening segment of the show is I want to discuss that speaking of 2025, I want to discuss what we learned this past year, you know, you and me respectively. And, you know, and when I say what we learned, things we learned about investing or financial planning or your specialty risk management, basically anything that pertains to our audience. Then I'd like to ask you, Jay, for your thoughts on what financial decisions and activities you would recommend for folks to do to start the new year. And I'll give you a handful of some things that I've had. So first, let's do a little retrospective. Okay. Let's talk about what we learned in 2025, and you're okay with it. I'm going to start.
Right. I think you should start. Okay, it's your show.
There you go. Thank you. All right. All right. So 2025, there's no particular order, but I think I wrote down three or four really important things that I learned around my business that impacts those of you listening, particularly those of you that are clients or thinking about reaching out to us to become a client. I learned this past year that the more hyper-focused that our team at Gulf Coast Financial Advisors got on our core service offerings of financial planning and investment management, the more satisfied our clients became. That sounds really simple, stupid, But what happens, as Jay can tell you, there is a million different ways to be a financial advisor in our industry. I mean, there's just so many ways you can do it, right?
Absolutely, there are. And over 25 years in the business, I've seen so many different ways that people can get advice from a financial professional. Just different types of licenses that are out there, different types of focus. Some are like you said, hyper-focused on one specific area. But yeah, there's so many different good professionals out there that can give you quality advice. But the flip side of that coin is there are also some folks who think they can give you good advice who may lead you down the wrong path.
Or they might be stretched too thin. I mean, because to be fair, I was the yes, I can guy earlier in my career. And what we've done is quit trying to be the jack of all trades. We went super deep on financial planning, and now financial planning, just saying super deep on that, that's a broad term. Here's what I mean. I mean, everybody kind of, or most people understand the investment management piece. You hire an advisor, they charge some type of fee, or on the broker side, maybe they charge commission to help invest those assets and hopefully make them grow. On the financial planning side, that's going to encompass things like retirement planning, estate planning, tax planning, which we're going to talk more about later in this episode, insurance planning, which is where Jay's expertise comes into play, cash flow management. There's just a wide range of things that encompasses, but it all falls under the financial planning umbrella. And what has happened over this past year, 2025, Jay, for probably the most efficient in my entire career of really being laser focused on these are the things we do and these are things we don't. And if you need these things that we don't, I'm going to point you in the direction of somebody that does them more specialized than I do. So that's the number one. That's one of the things I learned in 2025.
And it worked.
It worked fantastic. How about you?
So we also understand the importance of being laser focused, and our at Providence Partners and Providence Benefits, we have a dual silo approach. As you know that, Josh, as an advisor, you get a choice of how you do business with us and helping your clients. The Providence Partner side, we focused specifically on life insurance planning, disability planning, and long-term care planning. And we are very, very good at that when you have clients that have either of those needs come up in the discussions that you have with them. Mm-hmm. The other side of the house, so to speak, is the Providence benefit side. And they merge together well because it's the group benefits. So we do assist employers and their employees with the opportunity to come in and install or renew and review existing group benefits, anywhere from two employees to 2,002 employees along the Gulf Coast, along the Southeast. That was added as a major focus in 2025. And we are very happy with the success we've had thus far. It's just led to a stronger balance of business, but it also gives those clients that are out there the understanding that, oh, I can go in and talk with Josh and by default maybe talk with Providence, not only about my individual planning, but also my group benefits planning, and have a quick review of what you may have just installed through your HR department and your benefits operations, your benefits group at your current employer, if you are an employee.
And Jay, for the listeners that are somewhat newer to the show or not familiar with you, before I give you my next item that I learned in 2025, describe who you serve when you're saying all that.
Yeah, I serve you, Josh. And there's about, I don't know, hundreds of you along the Gulf Coast that
God help us.
Yeah. Well, financial advisors, insurance agencies, property and casualty agencies, group benefits specialists, wealth management firms, retirement planning firms, you name it, that type of advisor agent in the marketplace that deals with the retail consumer. They look to us as the intermediary wholesaling entity, the backbone of operations, and it gives them the opportunity to say, look, I've got a specialist that can help me with this.
Yeah.
So it allows for you to give more focused attention on the overall planning. And then when you have a risk situation come up and you can say, hey, well, we're going to pivot. We'll bring Jay in, his team in, and we'll help you figure this thing out.
And how many years you've been helping people on the Gulf Coast?
Oh, gosh, don't date me here. the hair is thinning and little gray spots are popping in. However, it came on board in full time in 1999.
There
so
you go.
It's been a while. It always makes you feel old when you say anything with a 19 in front of it.
Yeah, agreed. All right. Well, all right. So my next thing that I learned in 2025, I learned that the decision that I made back in April of 2024 to go fully independent with Gulf Coast Financial Advisors, which, not to get too nerd speak for you all listening, but basically to form Gulf Coast Financial Advisors as its own standalone registered investment advisory firm. The decision I made back in April 2024, in 2025 proved to be an even better decision that I could even have imagined even back then. I was walking through, we don't have to share the numbers, but I was walking through some of the business growth over the past year with you before we got on the air. We've grown year over year somewhere in the neighborhood of 50%. And if you look at when we launched in April of 2024, we have we've over doubled in size. We're probably getting close to 2.5, right, Jay, on that? So 2.5 of growth, almost triple. So we'll probably by February or March, we will be triple where we were 2 years ago.
That's amazing.
And I'm very thankful for it. Part of that is obviously the wonderful clients we have, great radio show that you help sponsor, and also you help guest co-host that seems to have struck a chord with a certain market, which we appreciate. Recently added a VP of operations that you've met, Trish Cooper. She's incredible.
She certainly is.
Yeah. What a game changer that is. And then we also, I don't want to get ahead of it, and like Michelle does with her Auburn Tigers, I don't want to jinx it, but we are waiting on some final confirmation to open up a fourth branch in Texas. Now, it'll be under a different business name, but in Texas, we got an advisor there that I've known for a long time. That'll be the fourth branch of our investment company. I'm excited about that. A guy named Matt's going to be running that outside of San Antonio, a really nice suburb called Bernie, Texas. I don't know if you ever heard of it or not.
Never heard of Bernie, but I do know that a lot of people are watching Landman, and maybe yes, he's got some of those exciting stories that come from that show
Prime. Yeah, I have a client that lives in Midland, and so between Bernie and Midland is the Permian Basin, which is all that Landman stuff. So anyway, 2025, I jumped, like with most things in my career, I jumped a little prematurely. We were probably not 100% ready to go fully independent like that, but the timing was right. I went ahead and did it. And there's never any guarantees with this, but it's worked out. And honestly, Jay, I think there's a really good chance that we will probably double in size again this year.
Let's continue the momentum, Josh, and we're here to support you and your clients and all things planning.
Yes. All right. Number two for you, 2025, what'd you learn?
I learned that being a business owner, I was a longtime employee, a W-2 employee, as you were in your previous years, and garnering that experience over a 23-year period, I should say, allowed for me to see the light and say, I think I could do this a little bit better. Many of you listening at home or driving down the road may have done that yourselves, or may be in a position where you're thinking about doing it now. All I can say is, once you have the proper plans in place, and you read the tea leaves and think that you might be a business owner, entrepreneur, spirit is driving you, then that certainly is the path to go. I did it to have a lot more time with my family. As you know, Josh, 4 kids, 1 in college, 3 in high school, lots of sports, lots of activities. Still wanted to maintain a good professional demeanor in the marketplace, and do what we do well at Providence Partners and Providence Benefits, but allowing me the flexibility and freedom to go out and see my kids on a soccer field or on a golf course or at a football game, and all things that come with being an athletic parent. Many of you listening, whether you're a parent or grandparent, you understand, but you have to find some balance, and it's often resulted, Josh, in some not as much sleep as I thought I thought I was going to get at nights. This morning alone, no pressure, nothing going on. You coming in today, and we had several things that we were doing here for year end, but woke up at 4 o'clock and just really could not go back to sleep. I don't know if that's telling of my age, which sneaking up on me at age 49. Or if it just means that I care. I don't wanted to get up, and I wanted to take care of things at the house, and I wanted to be able to come into the office and make sure things were going to end smoothly here for year end. Lots of people had lots of things that we needed to get taken care of, and we've so far accomplished that. But in another learning point is, as a business owner and running the types of business that we run, yes, you do get flexibility and freedom, but you are required to get up and get things moving. And sometimes that might mean functioning on 4, 5, or 6 hours of sleep when you normally like to get 7 or 8.
Yeah. Yeah. You getting up in the middle of the night. I got up 3 times to pee. So there you go. Talking about age. All right. Last thing. So we're going to pivot here in a minute to some of our recommended financial activities for you listeners to start 2026. But I got one last thing I learned in 2025. I learned that leaning into the strategic partnerships that Gulf Coast Financial Advisors and myself had built with related professionals, such as, I mean, I'll do credit, like you, Jay Stubbs, with your company, Providence Partners. By leaning into those strategic partnerships and really focusing in on picking kind of the one team I wanted to work with each individual lane of where my clients need help, for example, helping me do that, helped me assemble and define what I call my A team. So when I'm having a client meeting, I talk to them. I say, there's going to be things that we do in-house. We're going to handle the investment management, but we have some support with a trading department and a portfolio construction company called Aptus Capital Advisors. They're based in Fairhope, about four blocks down the road from me.
Great guys. So,
right. They're unbelievable, right? And then there's going to be things around the financial planning, utilizing my son, Peyton Null, and me. We're going to be handling a lot of those financial planning duties. But there's some things around the accounting and risk management and attorneys that we don't necessarily handle in-house. And so what we've done is develop these relationships, particularly with you over the years, where no one has to use these strategic partners that we use, the strategic consultants that we have. But you know, we are welcome to make the introduction to Jay Stubbs if we're going to have a conversation about long-term care insurance or life insurance. We can make an introduction to Sam Driver, CPA out of Foley, who's just been fantastic around tax planning and tax preparation for a lot of my really valuable clients. We've been working a lot with King & King estate planning attorneys out of Foley. And not that we are exclusive to them, and there's just for disclosure purposes, there's no referral fees that go back and forth or anything like that. These are people, when I get a client referred to them, like with Jay, they make me look good, and I like looking good. But what they do with our services is they allow me, again, to be hyper-specific, develop the relationships, and we can all more or less form that client's financial team. And it's really a powerful thing that, again, with streamlining the business, having full autonomy and control over the business, and having my A team surrounded around me. I mean, I tell people, I say, I don't mean to be braggadocious, but we're hard to beat at this point. I mean, we got the A team, man.
You've got a good team assembled, that's for sure. And we're happy to be a part of that at Providence Partners, along with you and your team at Gulf Coast Financial Advisors.
Well, do you want to pivot to recommended financial activities 2026?
Yeah, let's definitely do that.
Do you want to go first? You want me to go first?
I'm going to go first.
You go first.
I'm going to go first because I think this is important. And if you're listening at home or driving down the road or maybe out on a walk, maybe the weather's nice enough to be on a walk, you know, the beginning of the year is the ideal time, Josh, to audit your insurance.
Okay.
Because it often follows, for those that are W-2 employees or work for a company, it follows open enrollment. And it also precedes tax season, and it gives everybody kind of a clear window into your new benefit levels and your previous year's income and things like that. So to maximize protections at your household, at your business, you gotta treat some of those things with a little bit of education in mind. And so we like to say, you know, remember, a life insurance review is always a good review. You never know what you may have, or you've forgotten what you've had, who the beneficiaries of that policy might be, what the term length might be, when it's expiring on that term length, or when it might turn into annual renewable term, which means increasing premium term. Mm-hmm. Catch a lot of people that caught off guard. A banker 3 weeks ago called me and said, why is this policy going up in premium? Normally I pay X amount a quarter, and now I'm paying more than that. And we reviewed, and it was a 20-year term that had gone into year 21 last
right.
year.
Yep.
So he was paying a higher premium. But just things like that allow for folks to kind of review and get a sense for what they have in the life insurance world. Also, to make sure you've got the proper amount of coverage. Right? Do you have your debts covered, your mortgages, your credit cards, your lines of credit, the amount of income you need to replace for the household, especially if you're the breadwinner, and how many years that might be needed, if you're the breadwinner, how many years that surviving spouse may need that, along with the kids and college and everything else. And then you throw in there some other expenses, like funeral expenses and education expenses. You lump all that together, and you can come up with a very easy math of we have enough or we don't have enough. And if they don't have enough, Josh, if you've got a listener that reaches out to you and says, I don't think we have enough, then it's a simple sit down, very easy conversation to have. Also, I like to mention this, and I've already mentioned it briefly, the beneficiary sweep.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure not only your insurance policies, but also your qualified plans that you may control and
right.
manage for them. Make sure the beneficiaries are what they want them to be.
No doubt.
Especially if there's been a divorce or
yes.
there's been a death in the family. family. And also, you know, it's important to do that for your life insurance beneficiaries. Second component of this is disability income, and I won't expand on this too terribly much. I want to leave it open for you to make some comments or questions here, but a lot of people do have an income gap when they realize in their disability income protection plan that they have actually made more money in the last several years than they originally purchased for their disability income protection policy. For those of you listening, if you don't understand what that is, it's a policy that actually protects, in my mind or in my professional opinion, the second largest asset, or sometimes the first. It's either your home or the amount of money you stand right to make for the amount of years you're going to work. So if you make $100,000 a year and you've got 10 more years, that's $1 million potential income coming into the household. You need to protect that. A lot of those listening may be protecting that with a disability, some sort of disability policy through their employer. A lot of those that are more affluent income earners and think $150,000 or more, $200,000 or more annually, they might have an additional policy they've layered on top of their group disability. But if you have increased your income from 2022 or 2023, and you're now making more than you were in those couple of years, then you might have a disability gap. And we need to protect that. And that's simple. Sit down and do a disability policy review. And not to mention, a lot of those people listening may be in a bonus or a commission world, and you need to make sure that those are covered. A lot of people listening may have another line of work that they're involved in. I sat down with an individual not too long ago that actually does some speaking on the side, mm-hmm. and that speaking engagement, this is aside from their regular professional credentialed job, the speaking engagement garners them almost six figures in income a year.
That's great.
Now, that has nothing to do with their disability policy that they have on their regular professional career.
Right.
They've just kind of moonlighted and turned this thing into, I'm a great creative consultant and go out and speak and get fees for speaking and consulting. Well, we need to protect that income as well. So just some prime examples: policy review, life insurance, term policy review, beneficiary sweeps, and then income, potential income gaps in your disability policy.
Very good. All right. So my thing for planning for 2026, something that I think really needs to happen sooner rather than later. So I'll frame it this way. There's going to be certain windows that investors have already missed with making tax deductible contributions to a qualified retirement plan for 2025. However, it's still not too late for tax planning. We talked a little bit about it earlier. Even if you file early, if you're one of those weirdos that files earlier on time, tax planning could make a huge difference to your bottom line, particularly you Schedule C folks out there, you itemized deduction, Schedule C, sole proprietor, or single member LLC folks. If you got a business now that's got a six-figure plus revenue stream, there's probably a conversation to be had around tax planning. And again, not to overly promote our CPA strategic consultants that we use, but if your tax your accountant or your CPA is simply a tax preparer, there's nothing wrong with that. But if you're not having a conversation about getting ahead of it, especially as a new year kicks off, especially if you're in a business like mine that has the potential and is actually showing some exponential growth, there's a huge thing that you can do around tax planning. We can help facilitate that at Gulf Coast Financial Advisors. So that's my first thing. I got one more after you got one more. What you got?
Yeah, so the other one is kind of a conversation that I think we're going to talk about in the next segment, which is long-term care planning.
Yes.
And I don't want to beat we talk about it a lot on this show. But
yeah, well, a lot of people ask.
People are aging. Right.
Yeah.
The baby boomer generation is the largest it's ever going to be at age 65. I do believe, and people are those of you listening, driving, walking around at home, what have you, you've heard of a story, whether it's a neighbor, mm-hmm. a loved one, a parent that has experienced some sort form of long-term care event, and they need to receive care, whether that's at home or in a facility. And oftentimes, Josh, you know, when they come to you saying, what do we do for long-term care planning? We've had an episode, or so-and-so had a stroke, or we've had a fall, what have you. It's too late.
Correct.
And
if it happened to themselves.
Yeah.
Right.
And I just want to plant the seed that if you're 1 year older and your health is great, there's percentages are out there that once you attain age 65, if you're married, that the likelihood of one or both of you needing care over age 65 is pretty great. And just to have a conversation and sit down to not just have a plan in place, but to have some peace of mind. Because the last thing that we have, over the course of 25, everybody's come in and said, I don't want to be a burden to my kids.
Everybody, without exception.
I don't want to be a burden on my surviving spouse, of course. I don't want to be a burden to my kids. They live out of state. They live out of town. They have their own life, their own jobs, their own careers, their own kids. I mean, those things come up multiple times, and they don't want to disrupt. And so the clients that you might be working with on their retirement planning, I do know that you asked, you know, do you have a plan in place to protect if you have a long-term care event? If the answer is yes, great. Let's check that box. Let's make sure we get those notes in your file. But if you don't have a plan to protect against long-term care incident for either you or your spouse, the next question that Josh, you and I ask is, does that concern you?
Right.
And we just let people tell us if that concerns them or not.
Yep.
Some of you may listening may say,
yeah, like me, I want to be a burden to my three kids right now. Yeah. They're a burden to me.
One of my neighbors says, hey, if it ever happens to me, just take me out to the woods and leave me
you
be.
You know, a guy told me that one time, and I said, well, what about her? She looked at him.
Yeah. In all seriousness, long-term care is a major component of overall retirement and wealth planning. We do a lot of it here at Providence Partners. We can do it for individuals. We can do it for couples. Josh, we've helped a lot of your clients in that regard. So just wanted to plant that seed.
Very good. All right. My last piece for financial activities recommendations is I would recommend doing an interest rate and risk score assessment on your investments now. Why do I say that? There is downward pressure on interest rates as we head into 2026. And you probably see that on your side, Jay, with the MIGAs and all that. Is that right?
Yeah, multi-year guaranteed annuities. We do see those rates starting to decline.
Right. So the question would be, is there a fixed income solution that you need to take a look at now? Or on the flip side, does your risk tolerance match up with the risk score of your investments? I'm going to tell you, most often it does not. If it doesn't, is there a reason why? Should it? You know, let's have a conversation about that. We are not necessarily all about just dialing down the risk to nothing. It's going to be matched to your risk tolerance and your time horizon. But we're going to have a little different approach on how we are discussing that risk tolerance and around what we're going to be doing with your investments. And again, looking at where you're at with your interest rate sensitive instruments and investments you have out there. That's definitely one that I think people should do looking at quick, because those rates are coming down probably pretty soon. All right. Well, listeners, as we wrap up segment one, if you've liked what you've heard and you want to set up a follow-up conversation with us at Gulf Coast Financial Advisors, it's very easy. Give us a call, 251-327-2124. Or find us on the website. That's Gulf Coast FA. The FA stands for Financial Advisor, GulfCoastFA.com. On the site, there is a blue button in the upper right-hand corner. You can click it. That will put a meeting on my calendar. I am Josh Knoll. There's flexible meeting choices. It can be a simple 15-minute phone call. It can be a 30-minute Zoom. But my preference is go ahead and put a 1 hour, no obligation, no cost, no nonsense, in-person meeting. Any of our three office locations. We're in downtown Fairhope. We're in Orange Beach. We're just down the road from the wharf off Canal. And then where we're recording today, we're in Mobile. We're near the intersection of Dolphin Street and I-65. However you reach out to us, however we meet, we'd love to meet with you. All right, folks, coming up next, there's always a lot going on in the world, particularly the world of finance, investments, and money. Every week, we scour the internet for financial articles relevant to those of you in or near retirement. Then we're going to give you our honest opinion about these headlines. So join us after the break to hear Jay and I discuss this week's relevant headlines in our Headlines of the Week segment. Stay tuned.
A multidimensional financial services company, Providence Partners serves the needs of independent insurance, financial, and employee benefit professionals. The team at Providence Partners serves other business professionals like property and casualty agencies, registered investment advisors, community banks, and benefit brokers to assist in their clients' risk management planning. Whether an individual or business owner client, this planning includes income replacement protection, planning for extended healthcare costs, family needs, and generational transfers of wealth. At Providence Partners, we give you access to industry specialists. Those specialists focus on business succession, business owner planning, family and household protection, estate planning, planning for that income loss, or planning for long-term care solutions. Providence Partners is an Alabama-based company. We have offices in Birmingham and along the Gulf Coast. Our website is providencepartners.org, and you can reach us any of the working days.
Welcome back to Coaching Your Retirement. Your host, Josh Null, here alongside guest co-host Jay Stubbs of Providence Partners. So as we discussed before the break, every week we scour the internet for financial articles that pertain to those of you in or near retirement. Our job, or at least we tell ourselves it is to help you all understand how these headlines impact you, especially when it comes to your money. Now, quick note, if you want to read these referenced articles yourself, we include the links, the hyperlinks in our show transcript, which you can find on the website, gulfcoastfa.com. Just go into the podcast tab, find the episode that you want to listen to. There's 70 plus episodes now for you to go through, and they will all have the article links that we reference in the show. With all that said, without further ado, let's get at it with headlines of the week. All right, Jay, you ready?
Sure, I am.
So I started with a site. We mentioned it earlier in the show opening around long-term care. There's a site called LTC News. You ever heard of that?
Yeah, all the time.
Oh, well, there you go. So LTC is in long-term care. They have a recent article titled, New 2026 Tax Break Lets You Tap Retirement Savings Penalty-Free for Long-Term Care Insurance. So what that means is starting on January 1st, the IRS is rolling out a brand new rule that lets investors pull up to $2,600 per year out of their qualified retirement plans. That would be a 401k or, according to this article, an IRA, individual retirement account. And they can use that $2,600, up to $2,600, to pay for long-term care insurance premiums completely penalty-free, even if they're under 59 and a half. On top of that, they've just bumped the tax deductible limit for seniors over age 70 to over $6,200 per person. So what it seems like, Jay, is the government is trying to really incentivize people to buy these policies. But my question is, when you see the IRS making it easier to tap our retirement accounts to pay for insurance, does that mean that they're doing this to help us? I mean, I guess yes. Or is this just a way for government to offload the massive cost of aging onto our private savings, because they know Medicaid is not going to be able to handle whatever. So this article calls it the silver tsunami, but there's knowing that Medicaid might get overwhelmed on long-term care costs. Is that what do you think?
So I definitely think it's a way for the government to step in and allow for you to take some money from a qualified plan and help absorb some of the potential costs that are going to come with this silver tsunami. We talked about it in segment one, Josh. Every day people are aging. Everybody's got a story of a neighbor or a loved one that's had some sort of long-term care event needing care at home or in a facility. Those are not cheap. The skilled nurse or even the part-time skilled nurse worker coming over is a high hourly rate, and it can get expensive, and it can be a drag on the finances. And it certainly, if somebody is on Medicaid, it definitely is a drag on the federal government and the budgets at the state level. I do want you to double check that article though, because I thought I read
I have the wrong number.
No, it's not the right wrong number. I think it's only from qualified plans.
Yeah, I think the IRA part. That's why I hesitated there. That doesn't sound right.
I don't think you can take it from your IRA. So I think it's only qualified plans.
I think it's only 401k, 403b.
457.
Yeah, let's make that clarification.
Yeah, and I also read where the employer has to allow that. You know, their plan document has
plan
to
provisions.
Allow that. So most companies with large employer 401k fiduciaries and providers update those plans year in and year out to allow for the consumer, for their workers to get access to those monies in the event of emergencies and things of that nature, health efforts, first-time house purchase. Now they're throwing in this $2,600 a year that can come from that qualified plan. The neat thing about it is no 10% penalty. The downside is you'll still pay income tax on that $2,600 as it comes out. So you're not going to avoid any taxes here, but you can use qualified plan dollars to help maybe purchase a standalone long-term care contract for you, your wife, your husband, what have you, or at least explore it. On top of that, though, the deduction limits are important for
Do you have those with you?
I do.
Okay, great.
So not standard deduction. So if you're an itemizer and you understand that in the tax world, these are deduction limits that you would be able to get on your taxes if you itemized deduct. So if you're 40 or younger, it's just $500. But if you throw that $500 deduction in with qualified plan, $2,600, you know, there are some efficiencies you can get there for a plan. very, very few people under the age of 40 right. are starting to ask for long-term care plans. Age 41 to 50, we can deduct in 2026, $930. And then if you're 51 to 60, we get more reasonable numbers, $1,860 deduction.
Right.
If you're 61 to 70, a very modest, very meaningful number, $4,960, and those over 70, $6,200 in deductions if you itemize deduct. The challenge with that, Josh, is if you waited till over 70, long-term care is expensive.
Right.
I highly encourage those that are listening, if you haven't done so already, to have a discussion with Josh or other financial planners or risk specialists in your late 40s, 50s, and even 60s. Because once you hit 70, a lot of the rates at a lot of the long-term care providers, while it's still available and you're probably still insurable if you're in good health, mm-hmm. you are going to pay a lot more, or you're not going to get as much bang for your buck. So I encourage people to look at that. So this was a great article and allows for some flexibility from retirement plans to allow for purchasing those types of coverages for long-term care.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how much long-term care total premium and probably policy number sales have gone up year over year, I would imagine.
Nationwide, they have in our office, and if you ask any of these insurance providers that offer a long-term care planning, and there's a lot of them out there, a lot of highly rated, very reputable companies, names that you would recognize that are out and they're on the everyday news nationwide, Mutual of Omaha, One America, Lincoln Financial, the list goes on. Mm-hmm. There are very, very good products that are out there that people can consider, but definitely the impact of people aging, the impact of financial advisors like yourself bringing it to your client's attention mm-hmm. has increased the volume of transactions through our office, certainly over the last couple of years.
Very good. All right. Our next article is from financialplanning.com. It's titled, 5 Estate Planning Tax Snares to Avoid in 2026. Now, there's a lot of important information in this article, Jay, but As an advisor, me, Josh Null, financial advisor, I just wrapped up our annual required minimum distribution calculation run for my clients. Thank you, Trish Cooper, for helping. And it's one of those things that's not a complicated exercise, but it's kind of an aggravating exercise, and especially on inheritance. And I wanted to focus on there with the new OBBBA legislation. They have clarified the rules around inherited IRAs, okay? So for the first time, this is officially, the IRS is requiring annual RMDs for most non-spouse beneficiaries if the original owner had already started taking their RMDs. Now, you're going to be, there's plenty of calculators out there. I use Schwab, but most of y'all that have an inherited inherited IRA, if the person that passed it on to you is in RMD age, pretty good chance you're going to have taken RMD. But the article warns you that if you miss just one of these payments, you could face a 25% penalty on the amount they should have taken. And if you got a large inherited IRA, that's going to be a big number. So in the old days, Jay, before COVID and the Secure Act, a lot of inherited IRAs recipients could utilize a stretch provision, right, related to their own life expectancy. And not that people got lazy with it, but they just had a little more time to think about it. With this new inherited IRA recipient, a lot of people with this 10-year rule, they may not realize that the IRS does not give you a heads up that an RMD is due, unless you've seen something I don't know about.
They do not give you a heads up.
They do not let you know, but they will surely penalize you if they catch the miss. So, Jay, a couple of questions. One, do you think that there was a lot of people that whiffed on their RMD this year? And also, two, what is anything else stuck out to you about this article?
There's always people that whiff on their RMD because I hear them out in the marketplace. So-and-so forgot. So-and-so didn't get reminded. They were sick. They were out of town. You name it, the issues come up. So, yes. And what was your second question?
Well, now, and also on that, Jay, because we had one time where the actual sending company is the one that made the mistake. And we were able to write, I don't know if it was a form or a letter, And I apologize for those of y'all that know this better than we do, but you can ask for forgiveness on being late on an RMD. And if it's your first time, at least in our particular case it was, we got the exception and no harm, no foul. Not anything I ever want to repeat again, because it was a considerable fine, right? But anyway, back to the point being, my second question was, you know, you think there are probably a lot of people that whiffed on doing their inherited RMDs, maybe even their regular RMDs this year. We can help with that at Gulf Coast Financial Advisors. We've got tools to both automatically monitor it and also keep track of it manually if necessary. But then my second question is around this article with the OBBBA legislation and the estate planning tax changes. What are there any other snares you see there that might get people that they need to be aware of outside of this 10-year rule?
Not outside the 10-year rule, but maybe along the lines of the federal estate and gift tax table.
Okay.
Just remember, you know, the one big beautiful bill, one big beautiful act, whatever you want to call it,
right,
did say, and we had this maybe several months ago, we discussed this. Oh, it's now the federal estate tax is permanent.
Right.
I mean, we've discussed
which is hilarious.
What does that mean? Well, yeah. Permanency in the federal estate tax code is really not got a long history of being permanent.
Right.
But, for 2026 and beyond, it's an exemption of an individual exemption amount of $15 million. If you're a married couple, that's $30 million. There may be a lot of you listening that's saying, never going to hit it, never going to touch it, and don't worry about it at all. Well, just remember, you have to add up all your individually owned assets that could be land, the timber on that land, the properties, the rental properties, the LLC interests. You start adding up valuations of things, and people are surprised that they get to millions and millions of dollars very, very quickly. And then when you throw growth rates on top of that, Josh, then you potentially could be in an estate tax situation. So we always like to caution people. Well, first of all, I always say everyone has an estate, whether newborns to the very last date of your death, you have something that is your estate that is going to transfer to some individual, whether it's by directive of your health or your will or by beneficiary designation. The assets that you own are every bit of dollar, unless it's held inside of a trust, an irrevocable trust, every bit of asset you own is included in your estate tax calculations. If you're underneath the $15 million threshold, fantastic. If you're over that, then your rates will start at 18% and go up to 40% above and beyond $15 million. I always like to say, even if you're in that mid-tier million-dollar range, when you add up a house, maybe the vacation home, maybe the LLC interest or other business interests, qualified plans, Josh, that you manage, non-qualified plans, savings accounts, investment accounts, throw some growth rate projections on that, and you potentially could get to an estate tax situation, even though you thought you never would. Now, that $15 million will be an index for inflation moving forward, and even though they said it's permanent, I very seriously doubt the federal estate tax exemption will maintain permanency. We're going to have a new administration after the Trump is out of office. We're going to have a lot of hemming and hawing about how do we pay for Social Security funding? How do we pay for this increase in Medicare and welfare? How do we pay for this is hot in the news. How do we pay for all this fraud that's been occurring in the state of Minnesota with respect to the Somali healthcare?
Yeah, I saw that.
Crazy stories.
Nuts.
Anyway, I digress.
Right.
I don't want the number, the threshold going to $15 million and staying there to be kind of locked in your mind. Always have a thought of I need to do some projections of my growth of my estate, especially if I'm in my 40s or 50s, because longevity is on my side, hopefully, and things are going to grow and continue to grow. Potentially, we could have a reduction in this estate tax exemption, and we want to keep an eye on that.
Yeah, when you started in this industry way back in 1999, the estate tax exemption was $600,000 per person. How you like that?
It's a very low number.
Yeah. It's a political football, like you said. It kind of depends on which way the wind blows. All right, Jay, our last article of the day, it is from AARP, which I qualify for and you don't. It's titled, Six Big Social Security Changes for 2026. Now, in my opinion, the change that's probably getting the most attention is the 2.8% cost of living increase, or COLA. And that results, according to this article, roughly $56 more per month for the average retired worker. However, on the flip side, Medicare Part B premiums are jumping nearly 10%, rising. I know this number I'm about to give is different for people of higher income, but rising to $202.90 per month. What that means, if you do the rough math, it means that nearly a third of that COLA increase is being clawed back by the government for the increase on the Medicare Part B before it even hits a retiree's bank account, okay? Also noteworthy is the taxable wage base jump. That's going up to $184,500. What that means, if you're what most people would consider a high earner and you're still in the workforce, you're going to be paying Social Security taxes on an extra $8,400 of income this year as compared to last year. And then the last one point, if you will, that matters, I think, to a lot of you retirees drawing Social Security but still working, there is a revised earnings test limit. So if you're under full retirement age in 2026, you can now earn, if you're under the full retirement age, once you hit your full retirement age, this does not apply, which for most people, I think born after a certain date, is age 67. Anyway, back to the main track. You can now earn up to $24,480 before the IRS starts clawing back your benefits. That's up about $1,000 from 2025. This is a 2026 number. But if you go over that limit, the Social Security, the SSA, takes $1 back for every $2 you earn of your, so they take it back from your Social Security benefits. You got to be very careful. So Jay, with all these Social Security changes, what's your thoughts? Do you have any thoughts on the changes? And then do you have any just general thoughts on Social Security?
Well, yeah, Social Security, my first thought is people that are thinking, should I start taking my benefits or not? I always like to ask this next question, which is, how's your health? If tomorrow doesn't look so good, Josh, I always inform or educate people their benefits and that they should probably start thinking about pulling the trigger. If your health is really, really good, and you don't need the income, you're still working, you don't need the income to live, pay the notes, pay the mortgage, pay the bills, pay the utilities, take care of kids, take care of grandkids. If you don't need it and you're in good health, then you can prolong it and you can get your increase of your Social Security benefit up to your I believe age 72, if I'm not mistaken. Is that right?
Say it again.
You can increase up to 8% a year from your full retirement age, 67.
Up to age 70.
70. Okay. Yep. So now we have the simple question of, are you in good health or are you not? So that's my first little insight on Social Security. The second is, we saw this coming. They've got to start shoring up the Social Security bucket, so to speak, at the federal level.
Right.
They've got to start figuring out a way to make sure that today's wage earners contributing into the plan are going to be able to get their Social Security dollars in 10, 15, and 20 years from now. So this is a small step towards shoring up some of those deficiencies in their projections.
Yeah, and we've talked a little bit of this about on the show, and you know what I'm about to say, if you add what I'm about to say in $2 to your pocket, it'd get you a cup of coffee. But you know, it's going to be one of the ways it's going to be difficult to take away from anybody. I mean, whether even a political guy, man or woman running on this, but try and take this kind of benefit from people, because it literally has been the greatest financial experiment in the history of mankind of reducing poverty in an elderly population. I mean, the results are stunning, and it's hard to take an entitlement away from people, to be fair. So I don't think you're going to be able to carrot and stick. I don't know if you're going to be able to stick your way through this. I do think there's some ways to do some carrots where you can incentivize people like you and I. If you got, you know, right now, you said it earlier, you stop getting increasing retirement credits from delaying Social Security at age 70. But if you wanted to really incentivize you and I, Jay, here sitting at about half a century apiece, give us something from 71 to 75 that really incentivizes us to hang on even longer, you know, and keep that money inside the system and let it continue to bake. I mean, I'm not saying I'm going to be in a position to do that, but you would definitely incentivize somebody like me that is kind of on my second career anyway and probably is going to work for another 20, 30 years as it is. Hey, man, just push that thing out. That's okay. Give me more money to wait, right? Delayed gratification, if you will. So
I can forget what popular person in the news just said it this last week, which was retirement at 65 isn't is an old adage.
Like, I agree, man.
Who's going to say, who's hanging it up at 65, 67 and say, you know what, I'm just going to go and set sail on the cruise lines and travel and right. camp and hunt and fish. You know what happens when that person does that, pulls that retirement trigger, and about 6 months or a year later, they're like, all right, we've done the trips. We've done all the fishing and hunting we want to do. I'm still going to maintain that, but I'm actually going to go back to work.
Yeah.
Josh, you've had so many people come back in and say,
That was fun.
We enjoyed it while it lasted.
I don't need the money, but I want the challenge.
I retired another, you know, somebody does challenge them. They maybe go work for a nonprofit. They maybe go work for a church or a school. They get back into something they're passionate about. Most people that work hard to potentially earn a pension, get their 401k balance up to a certain dollar amount, and they don't want to go through the rigmarole of the Monday through Friday. They're done with that. Now they want to do something else that's more fun, but they're still going to find a way to make some money doing it.
Well, Jay, let's do. We went long on time, so I'm going to go ahead and skip right to segment three, and let's just do one fun prediction apiece. And I'm going to put you on the spot because you are an Alabama football fan.
Well. Also, remember, Josh, I'm an Alabama fan by the sheer fact that I went to school in Birmingham and all the big games were at Legion Field.
Okay, fair enough.
But I also pay tuition to the University of Mississippi, which is Ole Miss. And
yes.
I will actually be in, time dating.
We're time dating. That's okay. We're recording this a little ahead of time.
So we don't know who I predict that Ole Miss will beat Georgia. It's
nice.
Hard to beat a team twice in 1 year.
Truth.
Ole Miss already lost to Georgia, and I think they lost because they made some bad decisions. I also predict that with 100-year anniversary of Alabama going to the Rose Bowl, this is their last time. The first time they were there was 1925. I think that Alabama beats Indiana in the Rose Bowl.
Yes. It reminds me of Charles Barkley when he got asked during the Olympics, hey, are you guys worried about Angola? He said, I don't know who Angola is, but Angola in trouble. I think Indiana's in trouble, buddy.
They could be.
We'll see.
But I do like Kurt Cignetti as a coach, and he is off of the Nick Saban tree. For those of you listening, Nick Saban has a very prolific coaching tree that he has dropped down through
Absolutely.
The years. Whether you're an Auburn fan, Alabama fan, or other, you know that Nick Saban has done a great job as a coaching mind in this country.
Well, Michelle's listening to War Eagle. All right, folks, that is our show for this week.
And your son.
And my son. Yes, Peyton's definitely listening. That's our show for the week. I want to give a huge thank you to my guest co-host, Mr. Jay Stubbs. Thank you, buddy. Great job as always. And to his company, Providence Partners, our longtime show sponsor. Thank you to our awesome radio station that is FM Talk 106.5 out of Mobile. Many thanks to the provider of our show music, that is local band Sloth Racer. Huge thank you to the show producer, and as Jay just said, War Eagle, my son Peyton Null, sophomore up in Auburn. And as always, our sincere appreciation for all of you out there that have been listening and joining us on this journey. We'd love to be a part of your journey as well. Till we talk again, have a wonderful and productive week. This has been Coasting in Retirement with Josh Null. Gulf Coast Financial Advisors, LLC, known as GCFA, is a registered investment advisor offering advisory services in the state of Alabama and in such other jurisdictions where it's registered, filed the required notices, or is otherwise excluded or exempted from such registration and or notice filing requirements. Registration does not indicate or imply that GCFA has attained a particular level of skill or ability, nor does it constitute an endorsement of the firm by the Securities and Exchange Commission, the SEC, or any other state securities regulator. The Coasting in Retirement radio program serves mainly to disseminate general information, including those pertaining to GCFA's advisory services, together with access to additional investment-related information, publications, materials, and links. The publication of this radio show should not be construed by any client and/or prospective client as GCFA's solicitation to affect or attempt to affect transactions in securities, nor should be interpreted as GCFA providing personalized investment advice or any type of professional advice for compensation wherever this program is broadcast. Any subsequent direct communication by GCFA with a prospective client will be conducted by a representative that is either registered or qualifies for an exemption or exclusion from registration in the state where the prospective client resides. Certain information, news stories, headlines, data, charts, graphs, figures, or statistics presented on this radio program may have been obtained from third-party sources that are believed to be generally reliable, but which GCFA may not have independently verified. GCFA does not and cannot guarantee the timeliness, accuracy, or reliability of any such third-party information and undertakes no obligation to update or correct any information that may become obsolete, unreliable, or inaccurate. This radio program also contains the opinions, views, and perspectives expressed by Josh Knoll and any other GCFA representative, which are solely their own and do not necessarily reflect the opinions, views, or perspectives of GCFA as a firm. Such personal views and opinions should not be construed as endorsements or professional advice from GCFA. GCFA makes no representation or warranty regarding the accuracy, completeness, or reliability of any information on this radio program and disclaims any liability for any direct or indirect loss or damage incurred from using or relying on such information. GCFA and Providence Partners are not affiliated, nor are any of their respective representatives.